We'll start with Hanukkah, I think.
Shalom Aleichem, you're welcome to sit down if you'd like.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
God willing, that's the Shem. So the Beis Chai says, we put the Hanukkah candles more than three tefachim, more than three hands up from the ground. So it's a mitzvah to put it less than 10 hand breaths from the ground. Now, if you put it above 10 hand breaths, you discharge your obligation.
Is this like a, is this a hand breath?
More or less, it's like this. But according to the secrets, the Rizal explains that it's better to put it over 7 or less than 10 if possible. If you put it over 10, it works fine. If you put it over 20, almost, that's somewhere around 40 feet. Or, it's quite a lot bigger than 10 hand breaths. Or 40, or, let's see, right, I guess 35, if you have the other opinion.
Is the Yeshiva's menorah 10? How much is that, the one they run up the porch?
I don't think it's that high. It's not that high, I don't think. But if you do it that way, then you don't discharge obligation. So first of all, there's a question whether you live in an apartment building on the 8th floor. So you're not 40 feet. You're way above 40 feet. But your neighbors will see your menorah. So some say that's okay. Others say, sorry, it's got to be from the ground. It doesn't help that someone across the way.
But if you're on, say, like the second floor, but you're literally on street level because of a giant walkway down.
No problem.
So you're basically on, you're flat.
If you're flat, you're okay. It doesn't matter from which side. As long as they can see it from the flat, it doesn't matter how much farther down the other side is. That's the first thing to realize. So, Rav Nosson explains that the menorah draws the light of Hanukkah into every person's home. Wherever you're holding, wherever you are, you bring light into your house just by lighting this menorah. The menorah symbolizes and tells every person a very important message that even though the complete deliverance hasn't happened yet, we're having some hard times, things go better, things go worse, we're struggling. Nevertheless, it's going to come. Just like in the market, the same thing. So, you know, the light of Hanukkah, the light of Hanukkah gives us a tremendous message of hope that everything's going to turn out fine. Everything's going to work out fine. We just need to hold on, because the light's already here. We just can't use it yet, we're not 100%, it's low, even if a person says, well, you know, I'm very far away, I'm not the way I should be, I'm trying, but it goes better, it goes worse. Nevertheless, in my house, that's where the light's going to be. That's why it's supposed to be very, very, very low down, if possible. Now, don't limit what we call the Pishtum Nisa value. Like, we're trying to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah. Pishtum Nisa means to publicize the miracle. That's what Pishtum Nisa means. I want to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah. That's what I want to do. So, I can't put it low if no one will see it. So, if I'm lighting outside, if my door I have to the outside public, right? Right next door, next to my door, I put a menorah, so then it can be low. But if I have a window in my house, and that's the only normal place for me to light, and I have nowhere else where I can move the light that will be seen from outside, so better light in the window, even though it's going to be higher than 10 hands breaths. But still, the idea is it's better to be low down because a person, every person, wherever you are, that's where the light goes. That's what Hanukkah is. So it gives you, if we want to get out of the darkness, we want to shine in the darkness, that's the time. That's our big chance. We have to light the Hanukkah menorah where we placed it. Wherever I placed it, that's where I light it. What if a person doesn't feel well, can't get out of bed? Can we bring the menorah to him to have him light the menorah and then put it back where people see it? No. Because the lighting of the menorah, that's the mitzvah. we need to light it. The lighting, that's still got to be where it belongs when I light it. I can't light it and then move it around.
What about if you're in the room?
Even if you're in the room, if you move it, it's not so good. Maybe a slight adjustment isn't so bad, but it shouldn't be moved, because I'm bringing down the light right now when I light the menorah.
It's better to have a shliach?
If you have no choice, yeah, you have a messenger.
Either put it in your room or have a shliach to put it in public.
So when you can put it in my, I can light it in my room. I just can't, I'm unable, I'm not allowed to move it afterwards.
So I light it. More important.
Well, it's like this. In Israel, there's a dispute about what's best. And here it's a little bit complicated too, but this is, first of all, there's a few, many Hasidim light inside anyway, because they say the minute that it was dangerous to light outside, which is what it was, so if it's dangerous to light outside, so that means it stops. It says you can't light outside anymore, because our neighbors, non-Jewish neighbors, would have made us a lot of trouble, so we no longer have a light outside, inside, so there's no longer any reason to light outside,
even when it's
dangerous. No, that's the thing. So some people do light outside, and some people don't. Put in the ones who stay light inside, so light in your bed, that's fine. So that's the first thing. You have to know what your custom is. The Shulchan Aruch, generally speaking, one lights outside and tries to have the public see, maybe a window where it's possible to see. Now, there's another facet of your question, which is that if the sick person is going to feel really bad about having lighted, having lit the menorah, so that's also a factor. It's not nothing. It's important. He's got to, you know, he's got to be part of it. He's got to be, that's what he feels. He's got to feel down. So you have to realize that, like, it's really not worth it. Like, it's better. Sometimes it's better to do a mitzvah in a particular way, but it works either way. And if you do it this way, to make, you know, give him a little encouragement, not to be, you know, oh, it's the first time I've ever not lit the Hanukkah menorah. I'm so depressed. You know, like, that's not what you want to give him on Hanukkah. Not the best Hanukkah gift you can give him. So sometimes there's a leeway anyway. You have to know how he's feeling, where he's told. He wants to know. I want it to be outside so people should see it. So you write for me, so that's fine. If not, so let him light me his bed.
How stable does the menorah have to be?
Oh boy, very stable. I don't want to make a fire. It has to be extremely stable. That's a shame. So that's what he says. If you can't get up,
and he doesn't have to carry the coin. They say he's a shaker, mm-hmm. So he cannot get up, or he cannot live to fight for himself, so he can be recorded.
Sometimes, if it's not, it's not his house. If it's my house, so either I send a messenger or I light, right? But if not, if I'm in someone else's house, sometimes I can sort of pay a little bit for the oil and the candlestick a little. That's what you're saying, that's true, there is such a thing, but it's a guest usually, which we'll see afterwards. So you said, if you can't get up, and usually you light at the window, and you want to light at the window, so bring a messenger. Don't say, bring me the menorah, I'll light it, and then put it back. That's ineffectuous, that doesn't help. He says, and the truth is, when you have a messenger, if the sick person is in the same room, he can make the brachas, and the messenger will light. You can even send him to somewhere else to light. It's not so simple. Other authorities say no. If the guy who's lighting, he makes the brachas, not you. I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The light of the Hanukkah candles alludes to using light and fire in a balanced way. We all have a fire. We have to make sure to use our fire, temper the fire, and use it and focus it the way it's supposed to be focused, not overdo it. So it has to be where what we're doing is we're using the fire, we're using our, you know, our inner flame, what we call it, called the neshama, right? Our soul, we want to use that to bring the light into my life. That's what I want to do. So how do I do that? How can I use the fire of the Hanukkah menorah? How do I use the fire of the Hanukkah menorah so that it'll be a focus? So I have to realize that I'm lighting every place, everywhere I am, wherever I am, I have the potential to light it up. That's what the Zohar says. The Zohar says every good thing we do is sort of like fuel. We're supposed to be inspired. Sometimes you learn something, you see something, and it really wakes you up, it really talks to you, and you said, you're just on fire, you say, wow, this is amazing, this is so beautiful. And you're able to channel something above yourself. Share, I don't know, spirituality, illumination, whatever you want, Kedusha, call it whatever you want. You're channeling something that's very, very high. And you're uplifted. So the Zohar says, we're supposed to be fueling such a light all the time. Every person on his level.
So we have to have a mind when we go to fuel
we want to have in mind when we light the candles that I want to bring down the light. I want to be a light, but not too much. Not overly much. Because like if you have a candle, the Zohar says if you have a candle and you add a lot of oil fast, it's not going to help the candle. It's going to put it out. We don't want to extinguish it. Sometimes we have too much light and we just, you know, it's too much. It has to be according to my level. I'm going to make that next step. Not, you know, I'm going to, I decided that. That's it. 8 hours is forced. Every single day. Take it easy. Try to get an hour in. Relax. If you can't do an hour, try to do 5 minutes. Do what you can do. You know, it's important to work for an hour, but don't, you know, say, yeah, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing hours of this. That's probably not a good sign. You know, just, you know, you have to know where you're holding. You have to know where you are. Something. This person says, no, I enjoy it. Overcome. I'm gonna do it. I'll get there. Good. Okay. You feel an enjoyment in it. It's so fun. But if you feel bitterness in it, it's probably not right. Probably not the, too much light. So you do a half hour. You do a little bit. You do as much as you can. You do how you have to work out. And everyone in wherever they are, whoever they have to work out. What does God want me to do? What's my next step? Because Rabbi Nachman says, like Hashem doesn't want us to go too fast. If he did, he would have made us angels. He didn't make us angels. He made us human beings with challenges. So we have to go. We can't not go at all. We have to have motion. We have to have motion, spiritual motion, upward. Right? We have to be upwardly mobile, I guess you'd call it, right? I want to be upwardly mobile, but I want to be upwardly mobile with, in accordance with my pace, with what's a comfortable pace, and not overdoing. Because when I overdo it, I'm not really, it's not really becoming me. It's artificial. I want it to be me, really. So that means taking steps one thing at a time. So that means where I am, wherever I am, right? Lighting the menorah is the mitzvah of the menorah, which means that wherever my level is, I have to light and bring in the light so it'll be tempered and good and that. And then movement, just where I am, my personal level. That's where I'm going to bring in the light of Hanukkah. Me and any light, that's any illumination. That's how Rav Nosson in Likutei Halachos, that's how he explained this element of lighting. And I light, and I bring in the light now, and it's the right amount of light, not a fire, not making a fire, not destroying fire. And we all know when you're under pressure, you're like winding up a spring, and you overdo it, and it goes right back, and you everything gets destroyed. It's like, what did you do? I don't know what happened to me. I don't know. Just lost it. I don't know what happened. And that can be on many levels, because he just loses everything. I have to go step by step. I can't skip steps. Step by step by step by step, another step, another step. Thank Hashem for every good thing, and appreciate every good thing, appreciate every positive that I have, and tell Hashem, I want to go the way you want me to go. I want to do what you put me here to do. I don't want to, not too much. I'm not running a race. I don't want to win the marathon. I just want to find myself where I really am. And according to my level, what I can do, how I can do, that's what I need to do. When does one light the candles? Some say sunset, and some say when it's dark. When the time comes, one should not eat. You shouldn't even learn until you've lit. Because you could forget. It's very easy to forget. If you started to eat or to learn before, you should really stop and light. How long does it take? A few seconds. What's the big deal? A few minutes. If you didn't light at nightfall, you can light as long as people in your household are awake. If everyone's sleeping, so then you can't light with a bracha. But if two people are up at least, you can light with a bracha. You can make your bracha. Now today in Israel, as long as people are outside, I don't know, till whenever time it is, you can light still. Even if there's no one in the house or a few people. People will see it or people are likely to see it. It's okay. Some say until midnight or until whenever it may be, in normal time, wherever you live, people are passing by. So that's the first thing. That I need to light. I'm supposed to light at a particular time. There's a time when I need to light. But I can light even later if it has to be later. I light later and it's going to be when it is. And people will see it. And that's the light of Hanukkah. I'm supposed to spread the light of Hanukkah. The idea of having, including other people in the light of Hanukkah is a very, very important concept, because the light of Hanukkah, you know, we feel something very special and very uplifting. We're trying to, like, we call it Kedusha, right? We want to connect to Hashem. So I have to be careful, I have to be very careful that I'm able to share that in the right way. And it can't only stay with me. If I have something positive, if I have something, everyone does, what happens is every person is a tzaddik. Every person is the tzaddik compared to other people. He has a nekuda, he has something to give other people that no one else can give. Everyone. I can give something no one else here can give. We can all receive from everyone else something that none of us can give. So we have to be able to give that over to other people. So what I get from Leib Chanukah, I have to be able to transmit it to someone else. It has to. So that's this idea. People should see this idea of presuming Nisa. So it's a particular time. You're alone in Taiwan, and there's no Jews there, right? Where you are, at least. So you light the menorah on time, and it works, because that's the mitzvah. Later, you have a problem. But and you make a bracha. But generally speaking, part of the idea of Hanukkah is spreading the light, spreading the aura. Because Hanukkah was an effort of the Jewish people together. That's really, although there was a lot of fighting, and there were people who were not so connected to Kedusha, not in any good places, not understanding what Emunah is. But really, the Jewish people were really united. Those who wanted to be connected to God, united. And that's what brought our Yeshua, that's what brought our deliverance. Alone, we can't really be alone. Alone doesn't work so well. When I'm alone, it's a million times harder to bring God into my life, because I have my own, I have my own calculations, and my own pluses and my own minuses, and it's very hard for me to see a real picture of who I am, and to get out of myself, unless I'm related to other people, and trying to connect together with them. That's why the Nachas is important to talk to someone in godly matters, and even in mundane matters too, every day. Make time. Rav Nachman said when Rav Nachman said, learn a particular man every day. Try to finish the Code of Jewish Law in 1 year. And he was learning, he was on the level to do that. But at a certain point, so I'm talking to people and trying to inspire them and be inspired to serve God. And that's getting in the way of my finishing the amount I'm supposed to finish the learning. What do I do? Do I talk to people? Or do I say, no, I'm not talking to people, I'm just going to focus on my studies? So Rav Nachman said, no, you must talk to people. The studies is not going to do. You've got to make sure to connect to someone and to pick up. This box can need to be picked up. It's a different pathway when you're with other people than when you're alone. When you're alone, it can be very, very, very hard to stay motivated and very, very hard to stay focused. When I'm with other people, it's totally different. It's much, much easier on the one hand. On the other hand, Rabbi Nachman says, if you're with bad people, that's not so good either. He said, because, you know, sometimes people keep us away from God more than anything else. Every person has their negative they have to overcome. But if you see something's the truth, you say, okay, this is the truth. So truth is truth. I don't want to live a lie. Like, what's the point? I want to live the truth. But other people can really derail you. Oh, are you joking? You take this. What, you think this is true? You think that's true? Come on. Without even making any sense, they can derail a person. So on the one, sometimes other people is harder. But if I have people who are working together, we're working together with a common goal, that's much easier for me to reach that goal than alone. So I need to have people involved in my menorah, my lighting menorah. People should see it. People should be part of it. It shouldn't be just something that's alone. And the light of Hanukkah also, I should speak to people and I should hear about it, learn about it. Figure out what's going on. Where am I being taken on these, you know, very holy, precious days? Okay, you have to put oil in the menorah. It'll be enough oil so that it should stay lit for a half hour. If you didn't have enough oil, so let's just stay lit for a half hour. You didn't discharge obligation. You didn't have enough to let it stay lit for a while. Even if you say, well, I'll light it now. I've got 15 minutes. I'll run to the grocery. Then I'll add oil, like we said before. The lighting, we hope that the lighting is what makes the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So if it's the lighting, so then you can't, it's done, it's too late. You can't add oil now. It's like problematic. If you made the bracha and you lit, you say, wait a minute, that's not half hour oil, is it? So put it out, add more oil, and then light it again. He said, but you can't make another bracha. It's not clear 100%.
Why put it out?
Because it's lit now, it's not going to last a half hour.
But you can put more oil in.
But again, putting more oil in, the lighting is what's going to do it. If you want to say that the lighting does it, even if there's less oil, which is possible to say, I think there's such an opinion, so then you did your obligation. But if you say that I need to have a half hour with oil, so I didn't have a half hour with oil, I didn't have a time, a particular time, that's just not the time I had. We'll see what's half hour, why half hour in a minute, but...
that's my question.
That's a great question.
How do you know how much oil is to use?
You have a basic idea. You can put in more. It's not so, you know.
Is it bracha levatala if you find out that it's not enough?
That's what he says. He says the blessing, the bracha, is not for naught. Because some say, you can't make another bracha. So when I put in two little oils, I say, oh no, I put in two oil, add oil, right? So I put it out and add oil, right? Because that way, if you say the lighting did it, even with less oil, it'll work with my old bracha. And if not, I put it out and relit it, it'll work now. But I can't make another bracha. I can't say again the blessing, because according to the first opinion, hey, you did it already, man, and we make another bracha for it. Well, in the second opinion, I didn't do it yet, but I can't make a bracha just because of the second opinion. It's not clear, it's correct in this instance. To know how much oil, I mean, it's a matter of experimentation or having an idea. People sometimes like more oil. It's possible to light more oil. We'll see in a minute. They sell these little cups that they last enough. There's usually a lot more than half hour worth of oil in there.
What if the wick goes out?
If the wick goes out, also it's proper to relight it if you can, not on Shabbos. During the week it's proper to relight it. Certainly the lighting itself does something. Yeah.
And if you don't know if it lasted for 30 minutes before it went out?
It's not great. We'll see the next...
stay in front of the menorah for 30 minutes?
The next paragraph, we'll see that question.
Sometimes you don't have to make it sense, because sometimes it's only cleaning. Maybe write it right away. You shouldn't play with it afterwards. Right away, it could be you can, presumably you can.
She says, therefore, he said, be careful, like you were saying. Make sure there's a half hour worth of oil before you light. You don't want to mess up, because maybe I made a bracha, maybe not. Make sure there's a half hour of oil before you light, because sometimes it could spill. Maybe you even left it in, and somehow it got spilled. If it spilled, it spilled. Therefore, be careful that there's enough, and then light. Fine. Very good. Okay. So, what we're talking about over here, the half hour worth of oil is like this. I want to light up the darkness. That's what Hanukkah lights are. We're supposed to light up where it's dark. That's why Yavan, Rabbi Nachman explains that Yavan, there's a verse in Tehillim, protect me mitit hayaven, which means like quicksand, or like horrible mud that you can't get out of. You're being, it's like a bog you're being sucked into. He says Yavan and Yavain is not a mistake that the Yavan, the Greeks, and Yavain, those are two aspects that sound the same. We know that there's a phonetic connection in Hebrew, it means they have a similar root. Why that is a good question, probably not for now. It's a very profound idea of what are the Hebrew letters and what, like how these things work. It's like its own discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it. But it's not really our topic. We can. But Yavan is Greek. The Greek philosophy and Greek understanding, you know, on the one hand, they're very close to Torah and the Jewish understanding. That's why the verse says that Hashem will make nice for Yefet, based on Yefet was the son of Noah, who was the ancestor of Greece. On the one hand, sometimes you can have a secular knowledge that's very beautiful and very important. We're all big beneficiaries of secular knowledge. We're sitting with electric lights, right? Where, you know, theoretically there's heat. I don't know if today there's heat, but theoretically we're happy there's no heat today, but theoretically there's heat, there's air conditioning, like, that's amazing. Really, you know, all the things we're sitting on, these tables and chairs and things that are just made by, manufactured and very cheap, very easy. All the clothing we're wearing, used to be clothing wasn't such a big deal. Now you have to have a little bit of money, you buy some clothing, what's the big deal? Much easier. All that has to do with the positive benefit of secular knowledge. Greek knowledge, like that was, and this idea of like researching and figuring out how the natural world works and how we can shape it and deal with it. That's how it works in Greece. And that's a positive aspect. So there's a positive aspect too. But there's also a very big negative aspect. If you're very careful not to be sucked into this place where everything is culture and mundane matters. And spiritual, what's above, we don't really get, we don't really feel, we don't really see, and we're not thinking about it. I don't have time to think about spiritual now. I'll fix my car again. I'll do this. I'll invent this. I'll do that. What about where is God in all this? You have to be very careful not to be led away from remembering Hashem. So, in the Hasidic world in general, and Rabbi Nachman specifically, he said there's nothing wrong with working. You need to work. You can work. And you can bring God into your job. Bring God into what you do. You don't have to only indulge, only spend time in spiritual matters. You have to find out who you are and do what God wants from you. Some people need to work. And it's good. Rizal also says it very clearly. So there's such a thing. Some people have this idea that if you're focusing on learning, it has to be all the time. There's a reason for that too, but it doesn't include everyone, and there were different opinions for sure. And it's, you know, wherever you are, and that's again the whole idea of Hanukkah is wherever you are, you can nullify this Yavan, this Greek philosophy thing of thinking that everything is speculation, everything is material. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can bring in the light, you can shine in the light. But that's part of why we need a half hour. The half hour in Halacha, half hour is very significant, because that's about the time when a person, if you slept that amount of time at night, is considered to be at what we call a hefsek. You tasted death, Gemara says. You tasted a drop of death. Sleep is 1/60th of death, the Talmud tells us. And when a person has a half hour, there are different opinions, but we hold it a half hour, you got to taste the death. If it's by night, by day is maybe a question, whatever. But it's not here, it's elsewhere in the Ben Shai. We'll get there, God willing. But half hour is a big, it's a big moment, a big time. It's just like, it's a particular, it's like a unit, which is the unit of like, we can call it the kiss of death, right? It's a unit where if you're there, if you're over, you don't want that to, the yavan, you don't want the Greek influence to take you that much. You don't want to be there. You want to say, oh, I want to be with Hashem. I want to bring God into this. If I'm doing research to try to find a cure for cancer, okay, but I want to do it to help human beings and to bring spirituality into the world. Not to make money and not to get honor, and that's not what's on my mind at all. And not just because it's fun and interesting and I'm interested in stuff like that. That's not what you're supposed to have focus. You're supposed to also focus on bringing spiritual things into the world. That's the idea. So this half hour is very significant. It should light specifically half hour. You light it. You light it to counter the this whole material world, which again, we live in because God sent us here. Nobody can live only a spiritual life because God put us in the material world. And it's actually not considered to be advantageous or beneficial to say, well, I don't want to be a part of the world. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to, you know, I'll just sit and meditate or something. That's not the Jewish way. It never was. Fairly, very unique individuals. And it's already many centuries since we've had someone like that. Like, it was really holding and just, I just can't get married. I'm too busy with God. Like, it's really unusual to find someone like that. Very unusual. So we have to just, like, we have to realize I have to live in the world. But, even though I have to live in the world, I have to also bring God into where I am. So now we're going to learn about if it goes out. If you lit the candle, what happens if I lit the candles and they go out?
Do we see do we see 30 minutes that amount of time applied anywhere else?
Yes, that's what I said. Okay, so in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, it's a dispute, but the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch has a discussion of if you slept 60 breaths, it's called Shishim Nishimin, right? So there's three opinions of what that is. One opinion that we hold halacha is the half hour. That's what Kitz Shulchan Aruch says and other greats of that opinion. So it's a half hour sleep at night is what gives me that kiss of death. That it's called the tam, the taste of death, right? That's what does it. So that's what I'm connecting together. But it's not, that's the whole idea that I don't want to be so taken by the Greek influence or whatever you want to call it, that I will be in a place where our sages say that a person who's in a place, unfortunately, he's wicked. It's not like a bad word, wicked, but he's in a place that's anti-holiness, let's say, and he doesn't even realize it even. And he's like dead. The man's dead.
He's considered dead.
So Rav Nosson explains, and the Sulim and others explain, they say wicked doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It doesn't mean he's done anything at all. Nothing. Maybe a very righteous, upright person, but he does not feel connected to God right now. He just doesn't feel it. He feels remote from God. You know, he's got his tzitzis, he's got his yarmulke, he's doing everything right. Put on his tefillin in the morning, he did everything. But he just feels very remote. So that's something that's very, very negative. It's easy to forget that. Right now, because there's another level where he doesn't even know he feels remote. God is so hidden from him, I don't even realize. He said, I'm like completely clueless. I'm completely forgetting God, not putting in my life at all. I'm just too busy. You know, I'm a busy man. You know, I get up, I daven. When I daven, you know, am I thinking about God? I'm thinking, okay, to work. You know, like everyone, it's very easy to get to this place where you're so busy, like the rat race. You know, you're the man on the treadmill, and you just can't progress spiritually, I can't connect to Hashem. So that's this representation of the half hour here. So we want the light to light up so that I'm able to nullify the effects of this Greek philosophy. It shouldn't hit me in a place where I get a half hour the other way. No, I have this half hour where it's purified. So at least I'm not going to be in a half hour, I'm not going to be in such a place. That's the idea. So what if you lit it and the wind puts it out? What happens then? So if I lit it and the wind put it out, he said, if you put it in a place which is like this blustery wind, so then you did not discharge obligation. It was impossible for it to stay lit unless there was like a miracle and the wind was going to calm down. So of course it's nothing. He said, but if you put it in a place which is fitting, then what? Suddenly came out, it went out. He said, it's okay. You don't have to relight that. If you do, it's considered praiseworthy. It's good to relight, if possible. That's where it comes out. That's where Beis Chai comes out. I think the Mishnah is the same thing, if I'm not mistaken. It's proper. You should definitely relight it. Now, you should relight it for sure.
Do you use a candle relight, or can you use a match?
Either one is good. He says, if it went out because I put it in a place where the wind was blowing, again, I can't make a bracha because some people say just lighting is enough. As long as it's lit for an instant, it's good enough. That's called that the lighting is good enough. So you don't make a bracha again, but you relight it. So the first thing is, we want to clean out, again, in short, getting back to the last paragraph. I want to clean out, if I have places where I was in this half hour of being in the material, and so in the material I forgot spiritual completely. Unfortunately, I mean, most people, even in the day, we forget spiritual, like very often, way too often. So, forget about did I ever. So I want to clean that out, right? I want to have that half hour purified. I mean, the half hour is just light, just godliness, and that's wonderful, and that's great. So the moment I put it in a place where it's going to go out, so it seems like, what have I done? You know, I want it to have an effect, and I want it to, so you want to say, I lit it and it happened, so then it's over, so then that works. But if not, so what have I done? What do I have here? So I have to realize that the lighting of the candles has a lot to do with the illumination of the whole year. So the author of Kelm, for example, when his candles went out, and I'm not suggesting a person does this actually, if we're not on the level, but I mean, he got very upset. He said, wow, my candles went out. Unbelievable. How could it not last a half hour? I didn't have, what is God telling me? I mean, what did I do wrong? He really felt very strongly, like, that's like a big fail. It's a big fail. And it is, it really is. I mean, we should be asking Hashem, please help my candles stay lit for half an hour. On the other hand, we have to know that what Nelson said in a different context, one of the Hasidic masters said, you're supposed to have fish on Shabbos. If you don't have fish on Shabbos, you should worry the whole week. Spiritual means something spiritual. That's a spiritual reflection. We're not getting into it now, but whatever it is, it's something very high. How can you miss fish? It's very important. So Nelson said, it's all very nice, it's all very true that fish is important, but isn't it bad enough if you didn't have fish? Now you should worry the whole week. It's a poor guy. Like, you didn't have the fish, don't think, what's the point of worrying? So if you're on a level where you're worrying and you're connected to God through the worry, you're not guilty, you're not feeling bad, you're not hurting your self-image or anything. You're just saying, wow, how could this have happened? I have to change. It won't happen again. Great. That's fine. That's out of count. But most of us are not there. We have to not be upset about it. We just have to say, okay, this is what Hashem wanted for me, and I'm just going to start again and rebuild, and I'll be more careful next time to put enough oil, not to put it where the wind's going to blow. There's an important addendum here. Many people light in boxes outside, in Israel especially. And, sometimes it can be a windy day. You say, well, in the box, it's not going to go out. Outside the box, it's going to go out. While the box is open, is that called that the wind won't let it? So there's a dispute that Brisker Rub says, I'm sorry, it has to be that even with the box open, it's not going to go out. At least open enough to light the candles because, I mean, you can't light them without opening it. So, it's not good enough. That's what he wants to say. But most authorities argue with someone, Orbach and many other authorities say, no. It's called part of the lighting. Well, the lighting is not a problem. So if it even goes out, I light it again. That's called in the middle of lighting. So you light it, and then you close the box. Closing the box has to be half out. If not, it's in the middle of light. It's like the match didn't take it. It's called it went out. someone gave you these really great matches, and somehow they don't light anything, right? So you're trying, it's not going. So he's like, you didn't light it yet, you light it again, the match goes out. It's called, it's a problem. I'm like, it's the same thing, they put it out. If they didn't put it out, it's not a problem. That's how most authorities rule. But there is a different opinion. So maybe we'll do one more, I guess. So if you lit the Hanukkah candle, and you forgot, and you didn't make the bracha. I forgot to make the bracha. No, it's a mistake. He said, if the candle didn't go out in the half hour, you can make the bracha. No. While I'm lighting the candle, the first candle I make the bracha. I remember while I'm lighting the candles, then I can make the bracha. But if not, it's problematic. Who said maybe it's you? Since one candle is good enough, and you did the mitzvah, like you said a minute ago, lighting is the mitzvah. The main mitzvah is that I lit it. So then it's over. You did the mitzvah. You can't make the bracha after you might have finished the mitzvah. So if that's the whole mitzvah, so then I can't make a bracha.
So you light the shamus, then say the bracha, then light the first candle?
I light the first candle. The shamus usually I light last. So I light the first candle, presumably. I don't know if you have to light last, but most likely that's the best way. So I say the bracha, then I light the...
You're using the shamus to light the first candle.
If you're using the shamus, yeah, certainly you light the shamus, and then you say the bracha, and then you light the first candle. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Then when do you say the second bracha?
I say the second bracha either before I light the first candle or some while they're lighting it, but it's better to say it before, all the brachas before.
So you say all three?
Yeah.
And the first
three, and then you
light. Light.
That's precisely right. That's exactly right. She said, but that's only talking about here, that's the within a half hour. That's not talking about that first bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah or Shel Chanukah, to light the light of the Chanukah candle. But the bracha, the later brachas of Sha'as HaNisim or Shech Yonu, that you can say even after you lit. It's not only about lighting this particular candle. As a matter of fact, the halacha is, and you might bring this later, that if someone didn't light, and he can't light for some reason, I don't know why. It just works out that way. I can't light, and they can't light for me. So, it's not a problem. All I need to do is I make a bracha, the other two brachas, on the candles. That's how it works. That's how it works. So I can say, Sha'as HaNisim, and Shech Yonu, even if I didn't light, even on someone else's candle. That's what the bracha is. So you can do that on your own candles after you finish lighting. It's not only tied to you lighting. Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah or Hadlik Ner Chanukah, depending on your particular nusach, that is tied to your lighting. Fine. Very good. You lit one candle, and before you lit the rest, they poured out, or they didn't order enough lights. Wait, and then when it comes, that's when you light. You wait. You have to bring another candle. If you spoke, it doesn't ruin the lighting. Okay. So here we are. The main thing in lighting the candles is one candle. Even one candle is enough to really work for every night of Hanukkah. We add candles because the domestic flame, we're trying to add holiness. You have to keep on starting again. That's the idea of lighting the Hanukkah candles, to make a new start. So you light one candle, the next day another one candle, that works too. So but when you make a new start, it's supposed to be, the best way is to make a new start on better tomorrow. Not just the same old, I want to improve, I want to be better, I want to add. So you add a second candle, until you have 8 full candles. That's what the domestic flame is. So that's, I think that's about enough for today, Bessel Shem.